But it was small. It was a very much an entrepreneurial venture. We had two staff people. We were in a little donated office with, no joke, a Sam's, a couple of Sam's Club folding tables and a couple of phones and a copier and a couple of computers. And
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. That is David Gilbert, the president and the CEO of the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission. That's an organization that is dedicated to making Cleveland, Ohio, the nation's foremost destination for large-scale sporting events. He is also, by the way, the president and the CEO of Destination Cleveland. David was recalling the early days, the embryonic process of refounding the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission. And in the years since, oh my goodness, dozens upon dozens of big time events have taken place in the city of Cleveland. Major League Baseball All-Star Game, NCAA March Madness. We had the Women's Final Four in basketball in 2007. NFL Draft, the NBA All-Star Game, the Republican National Convention. That organizations had their fingers all over those types of events. And oh, by the way, the NCAA Women's Final Four coming back to Cleveland this coming spring, the spring of 2024. I chatted with David recently, and here, ladies and gentlemen, is our conversation. And as always, please share the episode and help spread the word of Telage Talks. Here's David Gilbert. Absolutely delighted to have David Gilbert on the pod with me today. David, have a great deal of respect for what you have done with the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission and also your other job, Destination Cleveland. You're one of the few people in the country that has those two types of jobs in the same city. What has it been like cultivating your love of Cleveland and seeing and letting the rest of the world understand what Cleveland has to offer?
Well, John, I appreciate the kind words, and right back at you for how much respect I have for all you've done for Cleveland and your clear love of our great city. And I guess I would say first and foremost, I just feel very fortunate. I feel very fortunate that I've had what's really, I guess, now a career and not just a job or these couple of jobs that I've really got that have allowed me to combine two things I'm very passionate about. One is Cleveland and the other is sports. Mm-hmm. And really in the case of the Sports Commission in particular, utilize sports and sporting events as a vehicle to make Cleveland better. What we do is all about economic development, all about dollars into our community, all about helping to change the perception of Cleveland. I don't know if there are, I guess as I've gotten a little older, realize that how lucky it is and sometimes a rare thing to really love what you do professionally. Yeah. And for me, it is much as much of a job or as much of a passion as it is a job.
It really shows because the quantity of events that we've had here in town since the commission really got revved up, David, is one thing. But I think it's really speaks to the quality of the events that Cleveland has attracted, whether it's the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, of course, the NBA All-Star Game. You guys, I think one of the greatest jobs of lifting that you all did in recent years was coming out of a pandemic and handling so deftly the very tricky nuances of hosting the NFL draft. How much of a piece of heavy lifting did that become for your organization to pull it off with the restrictions of still kind of in COVID type situation?
It was really interesting. It is a heavy lift, as you said, for any community to host that event. And I think it's not just about hosting it, but it's really about helping to make it highly successful. And part of that is, you know, it's very incumbent upon the host community. You really have, you know, your two big partners, your host community, in this case, Sports Commission, took on the bulk of that role. Lots of other partners at the table, the city, Destination Cleveland, Downtown Cleveland Alliance, number of other partners, a lot of money to raise. And you really need to do everything you can to make sure that the NFL piece is successful. But the other piece is that it's sort of this traveling NFL circus, and and you want to maximize the number of people who come to your community, and you do it right. That, you know, we were expecting 100,000 people to be here. And a lot of that was incumbent upon us as a community to market the draft outside of Cleveland. And we had spent a lot of time, a lot of money, but we didn't know until ultimately about 8 or 9 weeks out that we were actually going to have it. So basically, you have to plan as though you're having it until you might find out you're not. But, you know, we were, you know, working with the NFL, and at that point, you know, the CDC and local hospitals and the city and many others to determine would it happen, and then of course under what parameters, because at that point, you know, this is, you know, we're talking March of 21, that really people didn't know. The vaccines were just getting rolled out, and no major live events had taken place. So it was very tricky. But I think it's one of those, John, that in hindsight, I think was great for us. You know, it happened at a great time because it helped to boost, particularly the travel and tourism industry that had been decimated by having something big in town, even though we probably still only had about a third of overall the people that we could have or would have had. But I think it also, you know, part of this business is about being known and being recognized as an organization, as a community that excels at making events great. And so I think our ability to help the NFL make sure that this was pulled off as well as it was, given the time frame, helped us in the world in which we live in terms of the sports event world, because really all eyes around the country were on us. And so I think certainly short term, amazing event for Cleveland, had a lot of great economic benefit. But I think for what we try to do to position Cleveland as one of the top cities in America every year for the hosting of major events, it really helped.
You know, David, it really seems kind of incredible too, when you look at the span of 365 days, the draft was being done in the basement of Roger Goodell's house in 2020, which was incredible in its own right. I'm sure they'd had some heavy lifting to even pull that off with people coming into that confined space and what have you. But in just the span of a year, you had thousands of people on the lakefront. And I'm just kind of curious, just, you know, you spoke about the heavy lifting, but just the parameters of getting so many entities to come together and to kind of remove some of their hesitancy to even be on board to put this thing on in the first place.
Yeah, well, you know, first and foremost, it's the NFL's event. The NFL's event that we host in our city. And it's a big competition to get them to choose Cleveland. And so, you know, certainly the call at the end of the day was the NFL's under the parameters of what Cuyahoga County and Cleveland, what their policies were at the time. And, you know, and I think that it ended up just being a wonderful partnership. And we had daily calls just on health and safety, and had on the line, you know, the city's health commissioner and the county's health commissioner, and people from the mayor's office and county executive and Cleveland Clinic and University Hospitals. And it was such a wonderful spirit of cooperation of leadership around Cleveland that meshed really well with NFL leadership. And I think they appreciated how we, you know, our attitude was, we will do what you need us to do. And I think that that helped a great deal. And it's funny. It's one of those, when you're in it, you're not thinking what a great experience. It's a little nerve wracking. It's maybe more than a little nerve wracking and a lot of work, and you have, you know, plans B and C and D. But now in hindsight, you know, we look back and say, wow, what a neat thing to have had the opportunity to go through and experience. And at the end of the day, it was, it ended up being very successful, for what it could have been in, based on the parameters.
It really was a successful event. It was so cool to see that amphitheater go up and then be used. And then, you know, like you said, the traveling circus comes to town. It's dismantled and, you know, off to Peoria, you know what I mean?
Yep,
as far as Bonham and Bailey. It really was incredible. David, I want our listeners to just understand effectively what the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission is. Its origins basically were the partnerships of corporate Cleveland, but more than anything was the three teams coming together, correct? And saying, okay, we got to get this thing going. Bob Kane being involved, that type of thing.
Yeah. So it certainly, the teams have been having them be highly committed partners from day one, helped make the difference in us getting off the ground and being successful in our early days. So we're a nonprofit organization. We've been around about 24 years. There was a first iteration in the mid 90s that got restarted in the late 90s with a new board and a new commitment. And our, from the very beginning, our mission has been, in a nutshell, economic development for Cleveland through attraction and hosting of major sporting events. And what we do in practice is we compete every day against cities from around the US, oftentimes from around the world, for the rights to, largely for the rights to host other people's events. On occasion, we will create and own and operate some of our own events. We often do these in partnerships with the pro teams or the Mid-American Conference or Cleveland State or other great partners. Our business model, not all sports commissions are like this. Many are focused simply on the sale. Our business model has been to have a larger full service functioning organization that helps to run and manage parts or all of the events that come to town. And these are things that, you know, on average now we will probably host 8 to 10 national events a year. You have the high profile ones that you mentioned, things like women's Final Four and major NCAA championships and you know, NBA All-Star Game, NFL Draft, you know, MLB All-Star Game, things of that nature. But I'd say the majority, John, are events that the public really may not read a lot about or hear a lot about. It's a large youth volleyball tournament. It's a big stand rugby tournament. It's the international children's games and the transplant games of America and the world yo-yo competition. I mean, really, if it's competition, we do it. And really the business model is very much around, think of like a donut where the hole in the middle is a sport. We're not necessarily experts at any sport, whether it's fencing or judo or basketball or wrestling. But what we are experts at is everything around to put on an event and make it great. And so oftentimes we have partners that are experts in the competition element of a particular sport. But oftentimes to make these events work and even more importantly, to make them better in Cleveland than anywhere else, you have an enormous host, list of services that we're able to provide, whether it's housing services or sponsorship or marketing and media or ticket sales, merchandising. We're not a big organization. We have 15 full-time people. In the sports commission world, it's pretty big. We're one of the two or three biggest in the country. But it shows they're not necessarily big organizations. Many, many of our peers are three or four people and largely a sales effort. And then we also have a wonderful board, and that's where you mentioned the teams. And we have a board of almost 75 people. It's grown over the years, and they're incredibly supportive. A lot of corporate leaders in Cleveland, leaders all around sports. You know, we have the heads of all the sports teams, the commissioner of the MAC, the Cleveland State's athletic director, a lot of sports media they all lend their time and expertise to this. So it helps us extend our reach in so many different ways. And even our board, while certainly they are very supportive financially, you know, we're a nonprofit. We have to figure out how do we have a budget that pays for 15 staff people, allows them to do what we do and to host these events. On occasion, we have to raise significant dollars for the hosting of major events, that the only way to get it done is to raise dollars. But the board also, it's amazing the doors that they can open and the networks they have. And a common denominator is these people love Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And so it really is very heartening all the time how engaged this board is, even though they're people that are running companies or divisions of companies, and they are so willing to lend their time and expertise and Rolodex for things that we may need. I'll give you a good example. We're hosting next year this amazing event called the Pan Am Masters Games, sort of a World Masters Olympics. First time ever in the United States. We're expecting hopefully upwards of 10,000 athletes from 70 or 80 countries, 20 to 25,000 people in Cleveland here for a week, spending $30 million, biggest international gathering in the city's history. And we're the first ever U.S. host city of this event. Very big undertaking. We already have 10 additional full-time staff above and beyond our 15 that are on board just for this event. It's a very big undertaking, but we wanted it for Cleveland because the impact it will have is significant. The number of our board members that have stepped up in so many ways to open up doors, to recruit teams internationally, to open up doors for sponsors, open up doors for, hey, we know somebody might want to donate this sporting equipment or these snacks or these t-shirts for the volunteers. We a bunch of our staff were just at about a month ago, the European Masters Games. It's this year's version. It was in Finland. We had several of our board members travel to Finland because they wanted to see the event on their own dime. And wow, it really is amazing how this community, I think as much or more than any other sports commission in the country, really, we like to talk about wrapping our community around events. And I really believe that our community does it better than any other city in the country.
Well, David, where did this passion come from? Was it just being a kid growing up in Cleveland Heights? You're an 85, I believe, 1985 graduate at Cleveland Heights High School. Just kind of take us back a little bit to how the sausage was made for David Gilbert getting along this career path.
Yeah, John, I probably grew up like a lot of kids, a big Cleveland sports fan. You know, I consumed every bit of, every box score, collected my baseball cards of every Indians player. And, I could tell you Dwayne Kuiper's batting average in 1973. And, I was a little kid, it was, but I was just a kid, loved going to ball games with my dad and my brother. And, I did have an internship when I was in college. I was a marketing major. I thought I'd go into advertising. And it was with a company downtown that put on big special events. And I think maybe it was then that I got a bug for Cleveland. And I had a first job out of college where I was traveling, but I knew I wanted to come back to Cleveland. And I ended up getting early on in my career an opportunity with a nonprofit organization doing marketing and fundraising called North Coast Harbor. It was a nonprofit that did oversaw the downtown lakefront development. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was a group that got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame built down there and the Science Center and all this early stuff. And it really set me on a course, one of feeling like I wanted a career to make Cleveland better. And in my early mid-20s, I didn't know exactly what that meant. And kind of, without going through the full progression, had this opportunity to restart the sports commission. And we started, there were only me and one other person. We had two staff people, had a great early board. You mentioned Bob Kane, who at the time was the number two at IMG, and when they were the largest sports management firm in the world, headquartered here in Cleveland. Ultimately, he became the CEO of IMG, and still my greatest mentor in my career. He was our board chair for 9 years, and early on, we had all these amazing business people, and right away, the presidents of all the teams. But it was small. It was a very much an entrepreneurial venture. We had two staff people. We were in a little donated office with, no joke, a Sam's, a couple of Sam's Club folding tables and a couple of phones and a copier and a couple of computers, and just so let's get going. And it was very bootstrapped, also he started to gain a little traction at a couple early wins, and that helped to bring some more people to the table. But I think from the very beginning, we always had a vision when we built the business model of this, that our when we spoke to a lot of who would be our customers, the NCAA, the Olympic governing bodies, we felt the one thing they were missing in cities were partners that could provide significant services that would make their events more successful wherever they were. And we felt that that could be our secret sauce, that it was more than just selling Cleveland. Because look, Cleveland's come a long way since we started 23 years ago or so. And we still often will sell, Cleveland versus Tampa, Cleveland versus San Diego, Cleveland versus places that many would think, oh, well, Cleveland's not going to win just on the base. One, those of us who are here and familiar with Cleveland feel Cleveland should win every time.
Yeah.
And assuming we have the venues and what it takes to put on the event, but what we know we can control, we can't control what people think, but we can control is that we can show a proven track record to make these events better. And I truly feel we have the best team in our industry, and they are passionate, they're dedicated, they absolutely love what they do, and they take pride in it. And we do feel like we take care of the customer and better than anybody else in the country. And our goal is that any event that comes to Cleveland is more successful when they're here than any other place they've been. And I can't tell you that we succeed on that every time, but we sure as heck put every ounce of our energy into it. And I feel very lucky that it's something I get to do. It's a lot of, as you mentioned, also running Destination Cleveland. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of juggling schedules. But I'm invigorated by it every day.
It's cool to hear it coming from you. Your personal story, how you guys started with the tables from Sam's Club. What were a couple of the early victories? As it were, the early small events, maybe sounding even quaint to us today after you've had all these incredible events, All Star Games and what have you. But what were some of those early victories, if you will?
Yeah, there were two in particular I can. When I think back, I can really point to. So we opened up our doors sort of the first day of the year 2000. And our first year, there was one small sports conference that we were able to convince to come to Cleveland called the National Sports Forum. And then we got a couple of small Olympic governing body events. But we were in 2000, late 2001, we were given the opportunity to host the U.S. Gymnastics Championships at then Gund Arena. And we structured a different type of business model than they'd ever had, that we took on more of the work than they had ever had a community do. Normally, people would write them a check, USA Gymnastics, and they would come in and run their event. We said, look, we're not going to have the biggest check to write you, but here are about a half a dozen things that we will take off your plate and do for you and pay for. All of your local marketing, we'll give you an arena for free, all this different stuff. And we had all kinds of friends of the organization that gave us, I don't remember the number, but probably $200,000 worth of stuff that USA Wow. Gymnastics would have paid for probably a third of that. And then we got a piece of ticket sales. So it also gave us skin in the game. But long story short is we took that very different business model. And I remember literally being in the box office at Gund Arena, not knowing until the night of the finals that we weren't going to lose money. So it was very, it was nerve-wracking, but very entrepreneurial, which our board liked. We would never have been able to get it had it just been about writing USA Gymnastics a big check, but it gave us a lot of confidence. And then there was one other event that we hosted in 2004, but we were awarded in mid 2000, called the International Children's Games, sort of a World Youth Olympics. It was, the event had gone on since the late 60s, had never been hosted in the United States, was being hosted in Canada for the first time in 2000. We read about it in some magazine, called them up, and they said, well, you have to participate. So we found a youth baseball team. They had an opening, and it was up in Hamilton, Ontario, a industrial city just south of Toronto. And we went up there and we made a pitch. We got a video of the mayor. It was Mayor Mike White at the time, back in 2000. And they awarded it to Cleveland. And I have to tell you, at the time, our staff, at that point, we had three staff people. There was another guy, Rob Marin, who we were up there together. And I think we were lucky that they were excited that their event was just coming to North America, that there was a U.S. city that wanted to host it. And I remember us driving back thinking, holy, you know what? What did we just get ourselves into? You know, we got committed to this thing that was a big undertaking. You have to recruit all the team. Again, this is even before internet. This is 2000. You know, early in our careers, early in the organization, and it was going to be 1,500, 2,000 kids. The event is cities from around the world send teams. It's a city-to-city event, and all kids 12 to 15. But long story short is we pulled it off. We ended up with, we had sort of a patron saint, a guy named Alex Machaski, who was the publisher of The Plain Dealer at the time. You know, one of the biggest civic boosters in Cleveland. He was very into his ethnic heritage. And somebody from The Plain Dealer was on our board. We met with him and he really added a lot of gravitas. Said, I love what this is going to be. Let's bring the world here. He got some other corporate leaders. We had the then CEO of Cleveland Clinic who got involved and we hired some extra staff. And at the end of the day, it was still the largest they've ever had. Normally they'll have 15 to 1800 athletes. We had about 2,400. We had the most cities ever. Usually it's 70 or 80. We had 120 plus cities, every one of Cleveland's sister cities. We just blew it out. Huge opening ceremony on the malls. We actually had President Bush. We were able to get President Bush to come speak at the opening ceremony. It was amazing. And I would say, I still think, even though that was now almost 20 years ago, was the single most important event in our organization's history, because it gave us this feeling that there was no event that we would not be able to host, that we could pull off anything. And it's one of those, you don't know what you don't know. I think if we had, you know, if we really had known, we probably would never have bid on it. We never would have bitten off far more than we thought we could chew. And it gave us so much standing in the community with our board, with ourselves. And it just gave us this feeling that we could compete with anybody and we could win. And it's funny because I can draw a line to the hosting of that event to many other events, the National Senior Games, the International Gay Games, the Transplant Games of America, next year's Pan Am Masters Games, all events that we have hosted as a result of our success in hosting the International Children's Games and other organizations knowing that we could do that.
You guys really have done some amazing things over the years. I applaud you. I'm just really excited about, you know, what's coming in the future for our city. I'm a big booster of our town. This is my town. I always wanted to work in television here and had the opportunity to do it for so many years. So really blessed in that regard. And what you guys are doing there is just a huge thing as to why I've got a lot of pride for my city. So congrats to what you've done. Thanks for being on, David. I look forward to continuing our friendship and aiding as whenever I can, projects that you have for the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission. And I look forward to the future. But again, thanks very much for being on the show with me. Appreciate it very much.
John, thank you. Appreciate your thinking of having me on. And I just have to say that, you know, you are one of us. I mean, it's also the thanks goes back to you. I'm sure there are many chances you could have had to go to other markets, and love that that you made your career in Cleveland, and we're all the beneficiaries of it.
Thanks very much to David Gilbert. Always a pleasure when I come in contact with that man. He is so positive about the city of Cleveland. I know back in his collegiate days, as it were, I think they called him Mr. Cleveland. Excited to see the Women's Final Four and the Pan American Masters Games coming up in the year of 2024 in Cleveland. And thanks again to you for listening. I appreciate it so very much. We'll see you next week on Telich Talks. Bye-bye.